Hello, I'm Cathy Cluxton with the BBC News. The British Prime Minister David Cameron is to brief Parliament on the details of his proposals to renegotiate Britain's membership of the European Union. The European Parliament in Strasbourg is also debating the plan. Chris Mason reports.
When the Prime Minister, David Cameron, stands up in Parliament, he'll know many of his opponents to his EU renegotiation will be sitting behind him. Some may even be sitting alongside him on the front bench. Cabinet ministers itching to make the case for leaving the EU, increasingly frustrated at being gagged, bound by an agreement to stay quiet until a deal with Brussels is finally signed. David Cameron will be relieved that his Home Secretary Theresa May appears to be willing to support staying in the EU, but he still faces a big challenge, winning the referendum and holding his party together.
Health officials in the United States say a patient in Texas has contracted the Zika virus, probably through sexual contact rather than from a mosquito bite. The patient had become infected through sex with their partner, who had returned from Venezuela. Professor Peter Hotez is a specialist in tropical medicine.
I think sexual transmission does happen from time to time, but it's quite rare. This should not take away from the fact that the overwhelming problem with Zika is spread and transmission by mosquitoes. We're looking at widespread infection in the Caribbean, and we're concerned about the Gulf Coast of the United States as mosquitoes become more and more active.
The BBC has uncovered evidence that Israel is sending some African migrants to third countries in a possible breach of international law. About 45,000 Eritreans and Sudanese have arrived in Israel over the past 10 years. Israel has introduced a policy that gives them the choice to leave for a third country or be jailed indefinitely. The Foreign Ministry spokesman is Emmanuel Nachshon.
I am confident that we act here in Israel according to the highest standards. Now, whatever happens within the process is something that we deal with in our bilateral relations with other countries.
The High Court in Australia has backed the government's tough stance on asylum seekers by rejecting a challenge to its offshore detention policy. Asylum seekers who arrive in Australia by boat are detained in camps in the Pacific state of Nauru or Manus Island in Papua New Guinea. Wednesday's judgment means 37 infants born in Australia to parents held in Nauru will be deported to Tiny Atoll. The human rights activist Daniel Webb criticised the ruling.
It is fundamentally wrong to condemn these people to a life in limbo on a tiny island. The stroke of a pen is all that it would take our Prime Minister or our Immigration Minister to do the decent thing and let these families stay.
World News from the BBC. The Japanese Defence Minister Gen Nakatani has ordered military units to be ready to shoot down any North Korean rocket deemed to be a threat to Japan. Warships have been put on alert in the Sea of Japan. Pyongyang has said it intends to launch an observation satellite on a rocket later this month. South Korea and Japan say the satellite launch is really a test for a long-range missile. Seoul said Pyongyang would pay a heavy price if it went ahead with the launch, which it called a threat to international peace. United Nations officials are continuing to try to initiate indirect negotiations between the warring parties in Syria, though they've warned that peace talks in Geneva are close to collapse. On Tuesday, opposition delegates cancelled a meeting in protest at intense Russian airstrikes on villages close to Aleppo, raids they've described as a massacre. The UN Special Envoy, Staffan de Mistura, has said if this round of talks fails, there will be no more hope for the country. A commercial passenger plane has been forced to make an emergency landing in Somalia after an explosion ripped a hole in its fuselage. Orlando Teal has the details.
One of the passengers on board flight said he heard a loud bang shortly after takeoff. As the thick smoke cleared, he saw a chunk of the plane was missing. The aircraft's Serbian pilot, Vladimir Vodopivic, has been quoted in the Serbian media as saying he thinks the explosion was caused by a bomb. He said luckily the flight controls were not damaged, so he could return and land at Mogadishu's international airport.
Orlando Teal reporting.